If there's one thing we've learned about business and life, it's that people are the X factor. They constantly surprise us, both in amazing ways and not so much. We're Ben and Sia, and welcome to the Gnaw on This Business Bites podcast. This show is all about real life things we all deal with every day, how they relate to business, and how to make some sense out of our daily chaos. Welcome to the show. And welcome back to another episode of Gnaw on This Business Bites. I'm Ben, and this is Sia. And here's a question for you, as I have a question for you every week. Why do we ignore opportunities? There are so many opportunities that are in front of us on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis. Some big, some small. But the vast majority of us walk right past them. We look at things and go, meh. Or we don't even think about them. We just go about our lives, live our lives, and think that, you know what? What I have is good enough. What's going on in my life is good enough. Or I don't want to upset the apple cart. Or, you know what? That's too much bother. And with that, we miss opportunities. Whether that opportunity is to go out in there and watch a meteor shower at 11 o'clock at night, you know, a full moon, you know, go out and watch a sunset, or, you know, take advantage of a business opportunity. It could be anything, could be absolutely anything, but we tend to sit there and go, that's a lot of work. That's, you know, I'm uncomfortable. I don't want to do this. Things are fine the way it is. I don't need to get out at 11 o'clock at night and get out of my nice, comfortable pajamas. So here's a question. Why do we miss opportunities? Sia, let's gnaw on this.
Damn it. That's like a $1 billion question, you know?
It is.
If we could actually, in our summary of life, draw up a list of missed opportunities. Like for me, I can personally attest how huge that list is over the years. I mean, you literally made me instantly think of one example that really stands out to me. Was very early on in my life. I was in my early 20s. I was working at Disney and I was waiting on tables. Goofy's Kitchen, shout out. And there was a guest and we were just chatting it up, and like, as personable as I am, I get to know everyone's life story. Because, you know, if I'm going to sit with you for the next hour, might as well get to know you, right? And we were chatting it up and they were asking me what my goals were, my plans were. And at that time, I really was interested in going to forensics. And I was just, you know, my love of puzzles. Mm-hmm. And the idea being like, if you could solve the puzzle as to why, you know, something happens or whatever to, you know, whatever, right? And the guy looks at me. It was a gal. It was a woman. The husband and wife were looking at me. And she goes, you know what? I really like your energy. I was still an undergrad at that point. And she goes, you know, when you're further along and you really know what you want, by all means, please feel free to reach out to me.
Wow. And
she gave me her business card.
Mm-hmm.
Johns Hopkins Medical. And I was like, oh, and I'm like, wow, thank you so much. And we had a lot of, you know, they actually hugged me goodbye, you know, with their kids. We all high-fived and whatnot. And never followed through, never emailed her. I still have the card. It's in my little memory box of a missed, and it's a reminder of a missed opportunity to me. And I regret things like that because why did I ever not reach out? I realized, if you want to go into forensics or any kind of medical field, it requires you to actually be good at school.
And certainly sciences, which I'd be lost at.
Studying and want to study for that long, persistence, discipline, you know, tenacity, all that, of which I lacked in my 20s. And
bless you.
Excuse me. And it's that fear of failure. I impress them with my hour-long, you know, I'm witty, Thank you for that. I have a gift of wit. And I was afraid I couldn't sustain that wit for when it really, really mattered and counted. And so that's why I never reached out. I never followed through. I mean, she literally said, "You can always reach out to me even before if you need guidance, advice." I mean, she offered to be a mentor to me. That word didn't exist in my brain yet at 20, 21 years old. Like,
No,
you know, still in
you
college. I didn't understand.
exactly.
And man alive, what a missed opportunity. So fear of failure, fear of looking like an idiot, that for me has resonated in other experiences and opportunities as well. And it's such a shame. Early on in my career, before my corporate life, I have been given so many times opportunities of mentors inviting me to be part of their world. Part of your world. And I said, nein, no, yet. It's just a damn it, man. Get your ego out the way, peep. So everyone that's like listening, I know you've got a story. So please, someone, you guys, just write one story of that. I mean, that mine was instantaneous when you mentioned that.
Sure.
Like it was instantaneous. Is it regret? Yeah. Is it, you know what the other thing too? You just don't want to waste people's time. Like I'm so respectful of other people's time that if I'm
Yes.
not 100% committed, I almost feel like, oh, I'm not 100% committed. I don't want to bother them, right? As opposed to, no, I'm not 100% committed. Maybe ask them about it and talk to them, be open to them so they can help guide you to say, yeah, you could, here's how we can help you get to 100, or let's explore why that's not 100. You know what I mean? Damn it, Janet.
And I think that's an interesting point to get to. And you know, I have a similar story, and maybe we'll get to it, maybe we won't. But that's an interesting point. It says, am I good enough? You know, am I willing to take the risk to do this? It's funny because, you know, there's statistics that out there. It says, looking at applying for a job or applying for a raise or applying for whatever it is. Men, if they're 40%, if they look at all the criteria and they said, yeah, I've got 40 to 50% of these, you know, criteria, and this is, you know, broad brush strokes, we'll go for it. Women, 90 to 95%. And I don't know if this is a cultural thing. I don't know if this is the way we're raised. I don't know if it's, you know, the way we're brought up, but it's interesting that men will take a look at something and go, what's the worst that can happen? Where women will sit there and say, here are the worst things that can happen, and go through them step by step, piece by piece, one by one. And you know, this is not all women, this is not all men. And I fully and truly absolutely believe this, but I see it more often than not because I do a lot of mentoring. I do a lot of mentoring, both of young men and young women. And the number one phrase I end up telling women is get out of your own headspace. Get out of your own headspace. Stop the doubt factor. Stop giving excuses why you can't do something and just try because you never know what's going to happen until you try. And I find I have that conversation far more with young women than I do with young men.
Do you want my 2 cents on that?
Absolutely, since I'm not a woman.
There's a full gambit of this, okay? And it's unsubstantiated because I'm not an encyclopedia, but let me just tell you from my personal anecdotal experience and or as a hiring manager, I too have seen, I mean, gosh, when I had a job that we had to fill and 99% was male. And it was crazy. So yes, women have a tendency to, if we don't check box every single thing, we're not qualified. And I think that's a societal thing, right? To being brought up pressures for women performance and the expectation, good, bad, ugly, or indifferent, it sucks. You could be just as good as your peers of other genres,
Or better.
but you have to work twice as hard to get the accreditation, the acceptance, the accolades in order to stand out, because there's an assumption that, I hate to say it, man, it's so annoying. I remember sitting in rooms full of men and just not getting any level of respect or attention, and it just was frustrating. Now, I also believe there is something to be said about being risk averse. Men, good, bad, ugly, or indifferent, are used to rejection. So meaning from a societal perspective, may not apply to now, but back in our day, men made the move. They made the first move to invite a woman out on a date. And there's a lot of rejection involved. So it's normal for men to get rejection because that's kind of hedge your bets, right? Whereas women asserting themselves, we're not used to rejection in that capacity, in that way. And so therefore putting ourselves up and out there, again, if I'm going to get rejected, I better be freaking massively qualified. So now I have a reason to be like, what the hell? Right?
But I
Because,
also find that women take rejection far more personally.
yes.
You know,
Yes.
I also find that women take rejection a lot more personally. What's wrong with me? You know, what don't I have? Why aren't I qualified? This, that, their thing. Instead of thinking, oh, maybe somebody was more qualified than I am, it's going into the self-introspect of what's wrong with me. And a lot of people, male, female, whatever, don't want to go there. Don't want to ask the question, what's wrong with me? Because they don't want to know the answer. You know, or they don't want to know what they think is the answer. And that's a challenge. And I think that we as people need to be more, and as companies, we need to be more risk, you know, less risk adverse. We need to be able to sit there and say, you know what? Sometimes we just need to take a flyer. Sometimes we need to take a risk. Sometimes we need to get out of our comfort zone and try something just to try it. You know, I'm not talking about betting the farm. I'm not talking about life and death risk. I'm not talking about bungee jumping without a rope. I'm talking about sitting there going, there's a rope. It's been certified. They've tested this rope. You know, we know that worse comes to worse, I'm going to get a face full of water as I jump off this bridge, but the exhilaration factor is going to be worth it. Okay, let's go. And just being willing to try things. And I think as a society, we have become far more risk adverse. We have put ourselves far into boxes and sit there and say, don't lift your hand, don't raise your head, don't make a wave, and it's basically make sure that you are the safe choice.
Man, I guys in the like that are commenting right now is I'm really intrigued to hear. Do you think you are yourself a quote safe choice? Do you opt personally to be the safe choice? Because I'm really intrigued by our personal self-assessment. I
Absolutely.
know I am not a safe choice, as in I'm known and I've said it many times. I'm the kind that will jump off a cliff and build my parachute as I'm going down. I've done that all my life, and I don't know if it's because I lack certain, I don't know, EQ to be like, "Hey, idiot, you jumped off a cliff without a freaking parachute," right? Like, I don't have a fear chip now as in a like in my youth, in my 20s. Obviously, I did. Like, obviously, because my first story right off the bat, I didn't because I was like, "Oh, am I good enough?" But now, what part of it is life experience? Does that, do you think it just goes away naturally with experience, Ben? Or do you think it's like learned intentionality? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I think it can go one of two ways. People can either become more introverted and more risk adverse and basically shrink further as they get older. Or they can just basically say, hey, listen, when I'm an old lady, I'm going to have blue hair, you know, or I'm going to wear purple. And, you know, there's the people that sit there and say, I've reached the age of not giving a care. You know, I've reached the age of just sitting there going, I don't care what people think. I don't care what people look at me. This is who I am. This is who I do. This is why I wrote my book, Powerful Personal Brands, A Hands-On Guide to Understanding Yours. Because most people don't understand who they are, what they do, why they do it, who they do it for. You know, realizing that 99.999% of the world will never care about you, will never know who you are, will never see you as valuable, and it doesn't matter. Because you can't please everybody. I've said it before, I'll say it again. You want to make everybody happy, sell ice cream. But I think we need to look at this at ourselves and the world and sit there and say, look, I can't please everybody. I can't do everything. I need to be happy with who I am. I need to leave this life with no regrets. I need to leave this life doing the things that I thought were important. And whether those things are big, whether they're small, some people take massive risks. You're running for president of the United States. That's a massive risk. Some people
It's a bunch
change
of
their shit.
something. You're full of something.
Some people change their shampoo, and that's a big
Yeah.
risk for them. But you need to live within your comfort zone, but you always need to sit there and scare yourself a little bit. You always need to sit there and say, hey, listen, how do I extend this? How do I push a little bit on the edges? How do I bend the rules without breaking them? If breaking the rules is just a non-starter, how do I bend the rules? And how do I take a risk that is going to enable me to get to that rock concert across a border when everybody is telling me you can't go? It's a matter of us looking at this, and we could talk about this forever, but we need to land this plane. But I look at this and sit there and say, we as individuals, as companies, as managers, as leaders, or stuff like that, we need to enable people to have trust in themselves, trust in the organization, and belief that they can have this ability to be less risk adverse and make small mistakes and say, it's not going to cost me my career. It's going to be a learning experience. And I think that that's what I really want people to learn, is that risk is a learning experience. And sometimes you're going to win, sometimes you're going to fail, but you're always going to learn.
Can't say that better, man.
So let's leave it there. I'm Ben,
Then see ya.
and we'll see you soon.
Hey. Thanks for listening to another episode of Not On This Business Bites. If you liked what you heard, we most humbly ask that you like, share, and hit that subscribe button. If you want to communicate more effectively within your organization, contact Ben at imbenbaker.com or me at brilliantbeammedia.com. We can help you build your community, brand awareness, and personality through digital content and podcasting. We cannot wait to hear from you. See you next week for another episode of Not On This Business Bites.